Cantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Embracing the Awkward, a guide for teens to succeed at school, life, and relationships, by Joshua Rodriguez. Narrated by Ramon Diocampo. Awkward. Awkward. Adjective. Causing difficulty. Hard to do or deal with. Ungraceful. Clumsy. Synonyms. Difficult. Tricky. Uncomfortable. Unpleasant. Introduction. Our prime purpose in this life is to help others, and if you can't help them, at least don't hurt them. Dalai Lama. Understanding yourself and your purpose. Life is tough. Rough, rough, rough. These are the words that came to me once in a dream. I dreamed that I was standing on an empty street. The sky was cloudy. The air chilled my skin, and all that stood in front of me was a small, unfamiliar dog. The dog slowly approached, as curious of me as I was of him, and said those words to me as I bent down to pet him. It was an odd dream to have, one that I don't really understand, even to this day. But the impression it left on me has helped shape every major decision I've ever had to make. Sometimes in life, our environment can be daunting or uncomfortable, our decisions tough, and the outcomes even tougher. But knowing who we are, and that we are not alone in our journey, can sometimes make all the difference. If you are alive, you probably are if you're listening to this, then you will one day question your purpose. It's okay, everyone does. So how do you know what it is? How do you know how to find it? You should start by looking within yourself. Knowing yourself, your values, and your strengths can all help you deal with any mishaps, curveballs, awkward moments, or complete disasters that will one day come your way. There are plenty of days where I question what my purpose is, whether I've made the right decisions, and if I followed the right path. But what I've come to really understand about purpose, about my purpose, is that it's constantly redefined every single day. From the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep, what lies ahead of us is every opportunity imaginable. And while that might sound a bit idealistic, and trust me, it is, believing that we can do anything stops us from creating limitations that aren't there to begin with. If I woke up tomorrow and decided that today is the day that I will help someone, whether by rushing into a burning building to save their life or taking a moment to listen to them vent, I can fulfill my purpose in the biggest or smallest of ways because I know I will feel fulfilled as I do it. So what is my purpose then? Right now, as I see it, I want to live my life in such a way that I am helpful and compassionate toward myself and others, mindful of my behaviors, words, and feelings, and confident in my ability to be somebody great. And while that last sentence may seem like I have it all figured out, I simply don't. I struggle too, just like you do, because life is tough. No matter how much you try, you will always hit barriers along the way. Am I hanging out with friends who are going to help me excel in life? Should I choose a different major in college because it might be easier for me to get a job? Is this the right person for me, the one I want to spend my life with? Life will always feed you new questions, and as you sort yourself out and try to answer them, your purpose may change from day to day. So, is it all just one big windy road that you have no control over? It can be, if you don't establish a grounding in what it is that makes you great. Knowing what my values are and working hard to carry them forward in every step I take is what helps keep me on track. While the world around me continues to throw questions, I know I can handle anything, despite any challenges and awkward situations that lie ahead. Having this in your life can also do the same for you. Values ground us in what kind of people we are, how we have grown, and how we choose to act in the world. Having such an important foundation can give you a sense of purpose all by itself. Also, it leads you to one of the most important results of knowing who you are. Confidence. Everyone goes through uncomfortable or awkward moments or phases in their lives. During these times, being confident and secure in yourself isn't always easy, especially when growing up. Growing up is the time when we develop our identities and learn the most about ourselves and the world. Also, did I mention life can be tough? Any new situation or challenge can understandably be intimidating. But how you approach a person, situation, or challenge will make all the difference in how it turns out, as well as how you experience it. Stepping into new situations with confidence, coming from your sense of purpose and knowing who you are, can help you turn something new and awkward into a learning experience. So, instead of cringing at yourself when you make the wrong decision, fail your test, say the wrong thing to your crush, or bomb your first job interview, let your inner confidence and purpose help you embrace the awkward. My purpose growing up. When I was a young boy growing up, I always felt like I needed to work hard to stand out as my own individual self. Being the middle child of three boys meant there was a lot of butting heads and competing for everything from toys to sleeping on the top bunk of the bunk bed. Normally, the middle child gets the stigma of feeling left out or overlooked. But that wasn't really the case with me. In fact, I think it actually pushed me to work harder to establish myself so that I could be proud of who I was by just being myself. In my house, my brothers and I had a pretty interesting dynamic with one another. My older brother, who is 1 year my senior, carried himself as a bit of a leader, always the first to make a decision and to try new things because he was the firstborn. My younger brother, who is 3 years my junior, strove a little more to be accepted by the two of us. Because of the bigger age difference, it was harder for him to be able to do the same things we wanted to do. Because of all of this, I feel like I learned early on what each of their different needs were, and how to peacefully make everyone happy. For example, one Christmas I remember our parents buying us each a WWF action figure. When we opened them up, my older brother proclaimed that he had been given the best figure and showed it off to the two of us. So I joined in his excitement to make him feel happy with what he got. When my younger brother and I opened our figures, I saw that I had one that he would have liked more. Just seeing the expression of disappointment on his face made me realize that although I didn't care about the character he had, I knew he would be happier with mine. So I traded with him. My older brother was happy, my younger brother was happy, and I was happy that they both felt the love and respect they needed in that moment. It started to become clear to me that doing the right thing and helping others made me feel good about myself. Knowing I could make small sacrifices that didn't hurt me long term made me realize that there was something to humility and sacrifice. When I started going to school, my parents instilled in me the importance of doing well academically. So I made it my mission once again to aim to work hard so I would stand out. I remember in elementary school, I would try my best to win as many awards, certificates, and plaques as possible. I even had a bit of a feud going with another girl in my class over this. She had the same dedication and drive as I did to succeed to the best of her abilities. So we both made sure to enter every contest, write every essay, and create every art project possible, just so we could be recognized by our achievements. During one award ceremony in the fourth grade, the two of us were called up to the stage so many times that we decided to stand in the aisles instead of sitting down, just in case we were called up again. It was an adrenaline rush for me to be recognized for my achievements. I knew that deep down inside that this was exactly what my parents wanted from me, and the last thing I ever wanted to do was let them down. Once I reached middle school, that started to change a little bit. The kids I hung out with weren't bad, but they certainly didn't make it easy to uphold my perfect student image. We pulled lots of pranks on each other without any regard for how they could get us into serious trouble. Whether it was jumping across the lunch tables or having wrestling matches in class, I had quite a bit of explaining to do to my parents whenever they got a call from the school. In some ways, a lot of it was harmless fun. But one thing I knew was never to do anything that would get me in serious trouble. Nothing scared me more than getting suspended or expelled from school. If I ever met that fate, I would have had no clue how to explain it to my parents. By high school, I was so set in my ways of never letting my parents down that I avoided anything that my parents told me not to do. When my friends started drinking and smoking, I turned it all down because I knew my parents wouldn't be happy with me. If some of my friends were cutting class or ditching school, I told them I couldn't do that because I wasn't allowed to. By the end of the year, I had even been awarded the Perfect Attendance Award, along with four other kids who seemed equally as obedient as I was. What's also interesting is that my parents weren't super strict with me at all. They laid down ground rules, but were very nonchalant about enforcing them. I think what was really happening with me was that my sense of worth and acceptance was completely tied to how well I did and what they would think of me. I didn't spend a lot of time asking myself what my purpose was, simply because it had been laid out very clearly. Do what your parents say and make them proud. One question in college that changed everything. You will never be happy if you continue to search for what happiness consists of. You will never live if you are looking for the meaning of life. Albert Camus. Things seemed to be going extremely well for me until I started college. Just like in school during the years before college, I relied on my parents to help me define my path so I could know exactly what I had to do to succeed. When it came time to pick my major, I really had no clue what to focus on. I had lots of different interests at the time, but no clear direction to follow, so I asked my parents what I should do. Since I enjoyed designing in Photoshop and creating websites, my parents suggested I go into the computer engineering field. I thought that made sense, so I took their lead and signed up for physics and math my first semester there. I knew things were going to suck from the very first day of classes. I had set my alarm clock to a radio station, thinking that would be the perfect thing to wake up to in the morning. The very next day, at 8 a.m., I heard a Backstreet Boys song start to play as I woke up, sang along in my head, and then drifted back to sleep. When I woke up again, it was already 10:30 a.m., and not only had I missed my physics class, I was already halfway into my math class. I rushed out of my room and ran to class, thinking to myself, I can't screw up this early on. I just can't. Waking up late that morning ended up being the least of my problems, however. As I dove deeper into learning physics and math, I realized I just couldn't keep up. The topics and material we were covering were not only too hard for me, I felt so disconnected from the class that I just felt sick to my stomach about going. Was computer engineering the right major for me? Had I made the right decision here? I had never been steered wrong before when I followed my parents' lead. So why did this all feel so wrong to me? By the end of the first semester, I was placed on academic probation for getting below a 2.0 GPA. I received an F in my physics class and got a D in my math class, which left me wondering if college was right for me. Deep down, I wanted to be there, but I knew something had to change. I felt depressed. I felt worthless. And worst of all, I felt like I was disappointing my parents. So early one morning, when my roommate had left for the weekend, I woke up early on a Saturday, opened the shades of the room to let in the sunlight, and then asked myself the most complex question I'd ever asked. Why should I go on living? And what is my purpose for being alive? I told myself that if I couldn't find an answer by the end of the day, then I would simply end it. I couldn't imagine a life without a purpose. I sat there for hours, thinking and thinking about what I could do and what my purpose was. And it wasn't until later in that evening that the answer finally hit me. My purpose in life is to experience it, and the reason I should go on living is to share it with others. I felt like the answer was so incredibly simple, yet it was something I had never thought about before. For my second semester of college, I knew I had to break from my current path. I needed to define for myself what success would look like, and I needed to do it for one person. Me. I changed my college major to undecided, and enrolled in philosophy classes to start from the ground up on recognizing how I could create a path for my new purpose. That wasn't the only thing that changed for me, though. As time went on, I suddenly became more open to the world around me. I started to notice the squirrels running by on the grass, the way the sun set over the buildings on campus, and how each and every person was someone just like me, trying to find a way to be somebody great. I felt connected with everyone and everything, and I knew at that point more than ever that I didn't have to make my life revolve around someone else's approval. I just had to live it for me. Don't stop when things are good. Passion is an unmatched fuel. Add being happy to that, and you have a wonderful formula for good health. Gary Vaynerchuk. By the time I graduated college, I had already been working part-time at an internship that took me on full-time once I had my bachelor's degree in business marketing and digital arts. I felt accomplished. I had secured a job when so many of the people around me were struggling to find something to do, and I finally felt like I had made it. At first, I was excited to be working where I did, at a technology company that sold tech products to college bookstores. I was in charge of managing the website, adding products, designing campaigns, and more. And while it definitely was fun for the first year, I slowly began to realize that it wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. Those were feelings I was quick to dismiss, though. There were lots of people struggling to find a job in the first place. Who was I to be complaining about having a job I didn't like? So, I instead decided to shift my focus to doing things outside of my job, thinking I had to dedicate 40 hours of my week to someone else just so I could live for the weekends. It was the type of reality that I figured was normal and expected once you graduate. Little did I realize, I was back in the same trap as before. I was working to meet the expectations of others, and not those of myself. I had become complacent, living day to day for someone else's goals and dreams and not my own. And the reason I never did anything about it was because I had learned how to fit my life around it. It was like a giant rock in the road that I would just drive around because I never wanted to move it. In some ways, it really didn't work for me. But in other ways, it was completely comforting to know that I had security there. Year after year, I remained at that job, with no plans for growth in my career or for my future. I was so sucked into the day-to-day that I never took the time to think beyond that. I was at that job for 4 years before the company let me go. The reason they let me go was because they were going to outsource my job to someone else to do it for cheaper. And honestly, that was probably the best thing that could have ever happened to me. I remember the day my boss called me and my coworker, who also worked on the website, into her office and told us the bad news. I smiled at her, thanked her for hiring me, and suddenly felt like the world was completely open to me. I had never seen the world around me like this before. I felt like if I applied myself where I needed to, I could literally accomplish anything. I called my mom on the way back home and explained what had happened with such a sense of relief. Had I not had the rock moved for me, who knows how long I would have stayed there. This was a mistake I knew I wouldn't allow myself to make again. If I ever felt complacent again, I would be aware of it as a tendency next time and prevent it from taking hold at all costs, because all it would end up doing would be to hold me back from being somebody great. Taking control of my own life. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. Henry Ford. When I started pursuing my dreams, there were a lot more reasons for me to stop working toward them than there were to follow through. You see, videos and storytelling were always something I loved to do. Growing up with my brothers, whenever my parents would leave the house, we would secretly borrow the video camera to record ourselves wrestling in our underwear in the living room with the floor covered with pillows and blankets. We didn't think far enough ahead to realize that our parents would find the tapes, since we had left them in the cameras, but there was a magic behind storytelling in front of a camera that I fell in love with. And as we got older, that love of wrestling evolved into recording our wrestling matches in the park with our friends. We each had different characters we played, and little kids from all over the park would stand around the small gated tire swing area to watch us hit each other with steel chairs, slam each other through doors, and trash-talk each other before every match. For years to come, our wrestling characters evolved, as did the production and quality of what we were creating. Eventually, I got more involved in the storytelling part of it all, writing storylines, creating dramatic angles for different wrestlers' involvement, and even meeting with people months in advance to plan things out for the next summer. At some point, though, we began to realize that we were indeed getting older, and that our park wrestling days were coming to a close simply because we had other priorities in our lives. I was in college then, taking a video class with my older brother. The final project for the class was to record a semi-long-form video, so we decided to record a pilot for a web series we wanted to create. Our professor had told us that the final projects would be shown in the college theater on the big screen, so we could invite our friends to check it out. My brother and I told everyone about it. So two cars full of people drove up to our school to watch the debut of our comedy web series. The only issue was that they never played it that night, leaving all of our friends dumbfounded and disappointed. I felt confused and embarrassed, so I approached the professor at the end of class and asked why she had not showed it, only to be told, "It was pretty bad, but you can watch it now if you want." The theater was empty by then, and my hope of creating a web series was crushed. The crushed feelings were short-lived, however, because soon enough, my friends and I got back into creating skits for YouTube. I started to feel like this was something I could really do, something I could spend the rest of my life doing, because it was so much fun to bring stories to life like that. We continued making skits until our comedy dreams had come to the same fate as our wrestling. Everyone had other priorities in their lives. I started to question if this was the right path for me. It seemed nearly impossible for me to maintain a creative effort that I enjoyed and to find people who were just as passionate as I was. That's when I met a young woman whose ambition matched mine on every level. She wanted to create a comedy show on YouTube, where she would dress up in costumes, play different characters, and interview people about the craziest things. Now this was something I was fully on board with. I had the freedom to create scripts and to produce videos while working with someone who understood my dream. Once again, though, the long path forward came to a screeching halt when she could no longer make videos because her job wouldn't allow it. I felt like I had been chasing the dream of being a creator for years and had never quite found the right path for myself. I still wanted to pursue making films, but I just didn't know how to go about it. I realized the best path for me was probably to work on video projects for companies and people who needed it. Through a mutual friend, I was set up with a project where I would record a commercial as a freelance gig in Manhattan. Unfortunately, as I will explain later, things worked out very badly for me and made me seriously question my desire to pursue film. I began thinking of all that had gone wrong that day. Was this the right path for me? Why was I so certain I could do this when every single time I tried, it had never worked out for me? I thought back to that life-changing day in college and remembered, my purpose in life is to experience it, and the reason I should go on living is to share it with others. That was the day I began making videos for my channel, The Josh Speaks. I was enjoying it. I was enjoying making videos about my thoughts on and experiences of things for the simple purpose of sharing them with others. That's when I realized I had finally figured it out. All this time I had been trying to define myself by someone else's standard. For the majority of my life, it was my parents, then became my first boss, and then my friends, and eventually, strangers I wanted to work with. But now I was defining myself by my own standard. I was doing what I wanted to do, and what made me happy. Looking back, I've been making videos for years now, covering hundreds of topics, from developing friendships, starting conversations, and feeling like you're good enough to ask out your crush, managing school stress, and more. I've spoken to thousands of people along the way, online, in schools, and in person, with all kinds of life stories and struggles. But the one thing I've learned from my own experiences, and from what I've heard, is that each and every single person has exactly what they need to embrace the awkward and be somebody great. I didn't realize this at first. I didn't even think it was possible. It wasn't until I developed skills and confidence that I understood what purpose really is. Not everyone has it all magically figured out. In fact, probably no one does. Life is a journey, and no one has the map. But a meaningful experience in life begins by simply taking steps in the right direction. That is exactly what I want to help you come to realize through this book, that you can be somebody great, that building confidence and finding purpose take some small steps, but together, we can get there. Chapter 1. Practicing Mindfulness. Your entire life only happens in this moment. The present moment is life itself. Yet people live as if the opposite were true and treat the present moment as a stepping stone to the next moment, a means to an end. Eckhart Tolle. How to be in the here and now. When you wake up in the morning and start your day, how much thought do you put into the idea of being awake? I'd imagine it isn't a lot, considering there are so many other things to do, like getting ready for school, preparing your lunch for work, or even just picking up your phone to dive into any notifications that may have come in after you lay down to go to sleep. For the most part, we're always ready to jump into the next moment ahead of us, ready to do something else, even when we are in the process of doing something in that moment. Have you ever brushed your teeth and thought about what clothes you were going to wear? Have you ever gotten on a bus or a train and thought about what you were going to do when you finished your classes for the day? Sometimes it feels so natural to do this, to just allow our minds to drift off into things we want to do. There are even times our minds drift backward and start to remind us of things that have happened, both good and bad. Maybe the night before you got into an argument with your parents, or you saw a post online by a friend that made you feel a little jealous. Maybe you just feel trapped in your day-to-day cycle, and the idea of changing it seems completely out of your hands. While the thoughts we experience can vary from time to time, it seems pretty consistent that we aren't really being in the here and the now. We're letting our mind jump forward into our future, or we're delving into our pasts. We're anywhere but here. If this is such a normal thing that everyone does, what's the problem then? And if there is a problem, what can we do to resolve it? First, let's take a few minutes to dive deep into this moment right now. As you listen to this book, I want you to step outside of yourself for a bit and observe whatever sensations you might be feeling as we walk through them. To start, think about how you're positioned. Are you sitting down on a comfortable couch or chair? Are you standing on a bus or a train? Or are you lying in bed with a pillow behind your neck? However you're listening to it, that simple sense of awareness you experienced for a brief moment about where you are is being in the here and the now. It can get even deeper than that if you're willing to continue with me. As you continue, I want you to focus now on your breath. Feel the air enter your lungs as you breathe in. Hold that breath for just a second or two, and then exhale to let the air escape. Inhale one more time. Feel the oxygen enter to a point where your lungs are full and whole, and then exhale again. While you breathe, try to imagine the air as something you can see entering your body, something you are bringing into it by your own sheer will. It's easy for us to forget how important.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?